Welcome to this program. I know that many of you are literature lovers, and of course, you are lovers of listening to English and joining in with us. So thanks for being with us today. We're so glad to have people here who also like literature, and they are studio classroom teachers. We have Lois. Hello, Lois.
Hi, Doris. I noticed today we're talking about England. But you have two Canadians joining
you.
But
you used to be part English.
Exactly. And we still either have family members in England or our family members came from England.
Well, what about my name, Brougham? That's from Lord Brougham the First in England. So we all got a little British in us.
We all do.
And of course, Simon Stops, you are also, you've got some British blood in you.
I'm all mixed up. Yeah,
yeah,
it's true.
We all are. Now, didn't your mother, was she British?
My mother was British. She's Canadian now, but she was British. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, England's had an effect a lot of places in the world. Is
exactly.
That right?
Mm-hmm. It sure has. I had a grandfather no longer here on earth, but his last name was Burton. So that's a very good English last name.
My goodness. Well, Lord Brougham the First started the University of London.
Wow.
So, you know, we all go way back there, don't we?
We sure do.
Whether we're Canadian or Americans or whatever we are, we all appreciate a lot of things that came from England. And one of the things we appreciate is the literature, isn't that right?
That's right. And England, it turns out, has been and continues to be a good source for a lot of the world's great English literature. That word literature is actually kind of interesting because I guess before the program, Lois asked if I was a reader, and I said, yes, I was. But being a reader doesn't necessarily mean you read a lot of literature.
Might be comic books.
Yeah.
So you
yeah,
need to explain to us then, Simon, what literature is.
Well, I think you should explain it because you're the one who likes reading literature.
And you're the one that asked the question.
Yeah, right? I like reading books. Oftentimes you say somebody likes literature. Maybe they like a certain type of literature, a certain type of books that they gravitate to, or a certain author. And today we're going to be introduced to both male and female authors. Many of us are going to recognize right away whether we read or not, because many of these books have been turned into movies.
That's true.
Or live plays.
Mm-hmm.
So specifically, when we use this word literature, we're usually talking about creative writing. So we're not talking about a book on how to better run your business.
No.
We're talking about
it's
novels
not
and
how
plays.
To do something. Right.
And often, it's actually a word that brings with it sort of a suggestion that a book has a good reputation, so it's kind of a classic.
It's well written as far as the language is concerned.
Well written, and it's sort of had, it's well written enough to have been recognized by people over a long period of time as a good book.
Well, and actually, even today, we find that many of our good writers actually are in England or have come from there. Because I love to read some of the things that they write. This seems to be have full of all kinds of meanings in it, not just simple things. It's good.
No, it's beautiful, expressive language,
mm-hmm.
right?
So we're going to celebrate the literature's origins in five different places where people lived that were known for their literature all around England. Won't that be fun?
I think it's great. I love the country.
It'll be educational. And so we're going to start today on page 16. Are you ready?
Ready.
I'm ready.
England's attractions for literature lovers. Celebrating literature's origins in five places around England. It should come as no surprise that England has some of the world's most interesting attractions for literature lovers. From birthplace museums of some of the world's most celebrated authors to everyday spots made famous through fictional accounts. If you're considering a literary pilgrimage across the Atlantic, make sure your itinerary includes these five destinations.
So, Lois, I know that you think of people that might go on a literature tour like that, but a lot of people wouldn't do that.
Right. You know, we used to think that people would go oftentimes, even when I was a kid, a lot of people went on journeys, sometimes like a religious journey, like going to Israel and going to Jerusalem or places like
and
that.
They go to attractions like mountains and skiing and things like that, don't they?
Right, right. But, you know, there's such a huge following of English literature that I understand why this happens now.
So what about you? Do you think you'd ever go on a tour like this?
No.
I don't think most people would.
That said, if I was touring a place, right. I might definitely stop by one of these tourist spots. But I think the important thing here is the idea we're kind of getting from this article is that these are people who love a writer's books so much that they kind of want to go on a trip specifically to see the places that are in the books and see where the author is from and all of those kinds of things. So I probably wouldn't do a trip like that, but, you know, if I was in a place like London and, you know, there was I would certainly drop by.
Now, I know my sister and I would do this. We would really enjoy it, but we've enjoyed a lot of the books we're going to talk about today, and we've also enjoyed them when they've been either films or live theater. So, you know, it's just like the people now who go on, I know our listeners are very aware of this, Downton Abbey tours, because they've watched the show so much that now they kind of want to take a tour or a trip to see where that show is done.
Well, even if you don't take a physical trip there, if you don't have to go on the literary pilgrimage, we can do this, like we say, armchair. In other words, we don't have to go there, but we can find out what it's like and what they're all about. So that's where most of us will take an armchair tour. That's what we're going to do, right?
That's right. And it gives us, actually, in the first paragraph, a list of the kinds of places that a literature lover might want to go. And the first one they list there is a birthplace museum. You know, for some of the world's most celebrated authors. And a birthplace museum really is just a museum about this famous person in their hometown.
Right.
So their hometown has this person who is famous, and they want to sort of use that to promote the town, and so they put together a museum in this place.
Or the museum is put in where the first house they ever lived in,
sure.
Or where they were born, or where their parents stayed, or something like that.
But anyway, you be sure that if you do go to this, over to the United Kingdom, that you go to these places. Put them on your itinerary. And I've been to all the places mentioned here, but not just because of literature, other things that are there. So there's interesting places to go to, aren't they?
Exactly. When you go to just England of the United Kingdom, you have so much to do.
And one of the places that the people like to go to, and I've been there too, it's quite an interesting place, is called Bath. And it's a very historical place. So let's read about Bath to start with today.
One, Bath. In England's West Country, not far from the border with Wales, the gorgeous Georgian town of Bath is an undisputed must-visit for lit buffs. Some of the country's most celebrated authors have lived and written here, including Mary Shelley of Frankenstein fame, along with her poet husband, Percy Bysshe Shelley. However, the town's best-known former resident is Jane Austen, who spent 5 purportedly miserable years in the spa town. The Jane Austen Center and its Regency Tea Room are among Bath's most visited attractions, and there's a 10-day festival held every September that honors the writer and her work.
Well, we really need a good map. I know Lois brought one to class today to show where all these things are. They're kind of like in the central part of
England, down south, right? The south central part.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, if any of you have traveled a lot in England, you know, you start off in London. I always think of it as kind of like a big wheel. That's the center. And then you spoke off to different places.
Right.
And actually, everywhere on this map from London is easy to get to.
That's true, right? So there's this gorgeous Georgian town. Now, what is a Georgian town?
Well, basically, it's that word Georgian is referring to the architecture, the kinds of buildings you find there. And they're buildings that were built in the style that was popular when King George was King of England.
That's true. And Bath is undisputed. It means that you cannot question it. You cannot dispute the fact that it is a must-visit place, I think, not just for lit or literary, they say lit for short here, buffs, but for anybody that likes to look at history. I think Bath is very interesting because of the Roman baths that were there.
And you can enjoy them while you are there, and you can have spa treatments while you are there. And there's a, you're right, Doris, there's a lot of other things to do
in the place called Bath. It's a very interesting city. Yes. Have you been there, Lois?
No, I have not been there, but family members have.
I've been there a couple of times when we were with Heavenly Melody, singing all over England, and this was a very interesting place to go. Now, this is a must visit if you want to know the people that did literature there, and it mentions some of these celebrated authors there.
Yeah, it mentions, I guess, I don't know if they're suggesting this is the most famous of the ones, but the first of the famous authors they list is Mary Shelley. And that, of course, is the writer who created that monster, Frankenstein.
Oh, he was scary.
He was a scary, scary monster.
I didn't realize that he had anything to do with Bath, right?
Well, and who knew that lots of people never knew for a long time that it was a female author that wrote the book.
That's
either.
True. Well, and her husband says he wrote poetry.
Yeah, and his name was Percy Bysshe Shelley.
I would think about that she would write poetry and he would do Frankenstein, but it was just the opposite.
She was far more famous than he was.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't think his poetry made the star.
Oh, but I've read his poetry.
Yeah,
though,
yeah. I have not read his poetry.
Well, it wasn't about monsters.
No,
so
no, that's
it didn't get younger readers.
But who was the town's best-known resident that lived there at one time? The best-known one?
Was Jane Austen. And unfortunately, we find out that her time in Bath wasn't enjoyable for her. It says it was reportedly five miserable years of her life. But you know, Jane Austen, many of us are familiar with because she wrote Pride and Prejudice.
Yes.
She wrote Sense and Sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote Emma. And she wrote all those books before 1820. And also we find out that in Bath they have the Jane Austen Center.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Regency Tea Room.
But I don't know why she was so miserable when she was there.
Well, I believe part of her misery, if I'm remembering my history, was because she had a hard time being accepted because she was a female author.
Okay.
Yes, so I think that was part of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, because she's really a great writer. And, of course, all of these books that you mentioned have been made into movies.
That's right, every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us, especially us females, I couldn't even tell you how many times I've watched Pride and Prejudice.
Oh,
I think I have it almost memorized.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they have this 10-day festival every September that honors her and her work. So at that time, she might have been miserable. She didn't know that later she was going to be so honored, right?
Yeah, I don't think she did.
No, I'm sure she didn't at the time. She wasn't maybe as appreciated then as much as she is now.
Well, and you know what? You know what's surprising? I think a lot of us wouldn't know this about a literary tour or about a pilgrimage. It says that it's among Bath's most visited attractions, this 10-day festival.
Mm-hmm.
And it's held in September, so it's only January right now, folks. So if you would like to go to this, you have time to plan your trip. And it honors, as Doris said, the writer and all her works. And she wrote many books. I've kind of just given you the top three.
And there's a photo here that shows, you know, the style that they dressed in, the costumes that they have when they celebrated her 200th anniversary of her death in Bath. And so that was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. But, you know, I know for me personally, I would be looking for the Regency Tea Room because I know there would be hot tea there and food.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be looking for that.
Okay. Well, I think a lot of Chinese friends would too, because they enjoy that too. And it's always good to have high tea wherever you are when you go to Britain.
You are exactly right, Doris. And oftentimes I have my high tea a little later in the afternoon, and then it can be my meal.
Well, they usually have it late in the afternoon, and then they don't eat till 7 or 8, but they have high tea at 3 or 4 or 5, don't they?
Yeah, and I love their sandwiches and their other little sweets.
But you're getting off the subject of the literature.
Well, I'm going to hold my book while I'm eating.
Okay, that's a good idea. Well, you know, so Bath is a very interesting place, and I hope you visit. It's an interesting old-fashioned town. But let's go to London. Now, many, many people go to London. Sometimes people go to England, and that's the only place they go. And there's a lot to see and a lot to do in London. Have you been to London?
I have, yeah, and it's true. It is a huge international city with all kinds of stuff to do.
I love London. I've always dreamt of living there a year or two of my life, so who knows? Maybe it'll happen.
Who knows? Well, let's find out about London now, and we're on the second column, so let's read that.
Two, London. London has long been a favorite setting for English storytellers, and the capital city has appeared in countless stories and novels over the years. From Chaucer's Canterbury Tales to Helen Fielding's best-selling Bridget Jones books, Sherlock Holmes had a flat on Baker Street in his crime-solving days, and you might know Soho as the home turf of the legendary Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Charles Dickens is perhaps the best-known, or at least most celebrated, author of the lot. And there are dozens of Dickensian London tours available to literature lovers. Scrooge keeps an office in Cornhill, part of the City of London financial district, while Fleet Street makes an appearance in the Pickwick Papers and A Tale of Two Cities. Finally, Oliver Twist fans might remember that the Artful Dodger lures young Oliver to Fagin's Den, located in Saffron Hill in Camden.
Well, our article now is talking about London as a favorite setting for English storytellers, and we know that. But we know it's famous for so many things, but let's kind of stick to the subject now, because it says the capital city has appeared in many, many stories and novels through the years, and we all know that. I think of Sherlock Holmes and all those people. That's all then. Have you ever been to Sherlock Holmes' place?
I have not been to his museum there, but a part of this number two, we will come to a place where I have been. Mm-hmm. But we'll come to that a little later.
Right, because that's one of the very famous places in London, too.
That's true. And it's interesting because we're talking about like these literature lovers going on these tours.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherlock Holmes, I guess,
Right.
I guess, are the group that I have heard about the most.
That's right.
And it's interesting because they really sort of make these trips to these different places in the books. So.
That's
but
true.
What brought them doing this in the 21st century, of course, we all know this, is the new television series.
Yeah.
And it's got so popular that people want to actually find out where he's either doing the show.
Oh, it's been popular for years. I mean,
but his most recent one, yes.
They keep remaking it.
They keep remaking
it, I'm sure, right? Yeah. Okay, so what about Canterbury Tales? Well, that's pretty well known, too, and we studied that in school.
That's right, and it's, if not the first, the first well-known, I guess, English story. Mm-hmm. Written like novel, I guess. It's not really a novel, but English story.
Did you read that in high school?
We did. I think everybody reads it in high school.
In America, we read it in high school. Yeah.
It's the first time that a collection, it's really a collection of stories, mm-hmm. but it's the first time that sort of a collection of stories was written in English as sort of the common language, mm-hmm. as opposed to Latin or French or some other language. So it's very famous for that reason.
Well, it is.
I have to confess, I have not read it, but I know my parents have.
Well, that's going to be your homework for the weekend.
Yeah, it is.
Now.
That's going to be my homework.
Good luck.
Right? Yeah. The, In the summary version.
Okay, I will.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, have you ever read the Bridget Jones books?
Well, I've seen the movies.
Okay.
I have not read the books, but I know the books have been very popular. But I was going to mention Doris in the next sentence,
mm-hmm.
where it says Sherlock Holmes had a flat on Baker Street.
Mm-hmm.
I made sure I went to, of course, the Baker Street tube station.
Yes.
But I also made sure I went to Baker Street, and there is a plaque, I think it's a blue plaque, right. on one of the brick walls outside that says this is where Sherlock Holmes had a flat, or he lived,
now,
or
a
something.
A flat is like an apartment.
That's
it's
right.
like an apartment.
Yeah,
yep.
In America, we call it apartment. The British call it a flat. Right. Well, I've been to the place, too. I've been to where he lived, and it's very interesting. But it says you might know Soho as the home also of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So those are very kind of scary stories.
That's right. And they're actually not real people.
Nope.
They've sort of written about them here as though they're famous real people. But they're actually characters in a book.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
And they are legendary, that's for sure.
Well, and the same is true of Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
So this is a real place that has been the setting of
the stories.
This fictional story where
right.
this fictional character lives.
That's right.
And it's interesting, if any of our readers want to go to Soho, our listeners today, they will love that area of London as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, Charles Dickens, he's best known and most celebrated for all of them, it says here. Do you think so or not?
I do. I mean, he wrote so much stuff.
Christmas
that has
stories.
Been, yeah,
right?
I mean, like A Christmas Carol.
A Christmas Carol, everybody
the famous
knows
story
it.
With Scrooge. And,
mm-hmm.
and things he's written have sort of become part of the way we speak English, really. And so I think mm-hmm. he is probably.
I think so. Don't you think so?
Well, I think so. I am a total Charles Dickens fan. And I know we're just in January now, but I know a lot of people that decide maybe in November, December, they are going to read A Christmas Carol once again because they've enjoyed that so much from Charles Dickens. But a little later here, we talk about probably my either top three or top five books that I really enjoy, and mm-hmm. I've read it more than once, I think maybe three times, is A Tale of Two Cities.
Okay, right. So that goes on to they talk about Scrooge, of course, who's in the story, and they keep an office in this part of London, the financial district, mm-hmm. and Fleet Street. Fleet Street is more of a business street, isn't it, usually?
Well,
yes, it is.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, now.
Yeah, now it is. It is a business district
now.
Yeah.
But they make an appearance in this Pickwick Papers. And, of course, A Tale of Two Cities. That is so well known around the world.
Exactly. And you've got to, when you have the two cities, of course, London is one of them. And and then we finally, for all us folks who love Oliver Twist, the book Oliver Twist, and probably have seen it in movies as well, we also think of the one character in it, the Artful Dodger, who lures, that's a very good word, lures. What does that mean, Simon?
It means he convinces someone to do something or maybe tricks the person into
right.
doing it. And so in this case, he tricks this young Oliver. And to understand this, you maybe need to know that Oliver Twist is a story of like a young child in England in the past, living in a very rough environment.
And is an orphan.
Yeah, he's an orphan.
And
so he's sort of tricked into becoming part of the underworld.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, we find out another area of London because he gets taken to an area located in Saffron Hill in Camden,
mm-hmm.
in Camden area of London.
Well, this kind of sounds like, you know, you have to have a map to find all these places. But just the fact that these people that we mentioned are well known, and most of us had to read their books in high school, or we've read them ourselves, or we've seen the movies. And if you haven't, well, you might hear people talk about them. So you might think about some of these names and look up more about them. You can check it out on the web.
That's right, Doris.
And if you are interested in checking some of this stuff out and you're planning to visit, especially with very famous writers like Charles Dickens,
mm-hmm.
There are all kinds of tours you can take that, you know, sort of organize things for you so you don't have to go and find these
right,
places
right, you don't
by
have
yourself.
To go find yourself. Yeah,
yeah,
just
you
say you want
sign
to
up for the tour and Enjoy the time.
And I love that one picture at the bottom of page 16 on the right-hand side that says Fleet Street in the city of London. It is named after the River Fleet, London's largest underground river.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of interesting, incredible things in London. But we're talking about the literature part now. And tomorrow we'll take three other places that are must-stop places when you go to England. So be sure and be with us now, and we'll see you again tomorrow. And in the meantime, look up some of these things. You can Google those and find out more about them so you know what we're talking about. And thanks for being with us today.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.